Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, you guys. Hi there. Hello, 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 hello. Welcome to the Dr. Cupertino Show, the hour of power and hour for power. I know some of you are writing in saying, oh, it's just 30 minutes. Well, it is for right now. But I always say you're going to need time to catch up and keep up in God with what does saith the Lord. You know, I missed you guys last week, but, you know, if you've been watching the news and reading the newspapers, the state of California, Los Angeles, had its global peace march. And, you know, I was running and scrambling, so I know you guys missed me, and I know you've been praying for me. And here I am again to talk with you and give you encouragement. Some say, I don't need any encouragement. Yes, you do. If you're alive, you do. Oh, well, you know, it may not work. It may not help me. Oh, yes, if you open your eyes, if you're going to be helped when you hear from the Word of God. But before I get started, you know, I love you guys. Let's bow, sit down, lay down, fall down, crash down, any kind of way you can get down for God and bow your head, okay? Oh, Father in heaven, our eternal Father in heaven, God and God alone, our deliverer, we come to you thanking you for an opportunity to speak words of wisdom and to place you high above the heathen, real high. And the only way we can do it is by blessing your holy name. So we come to bless your name and thank you, God, that we're able to have one more day in the land of the living to make it work. We've been doing everything else, but we got one more chance from you and your Holy Spirit within to make it work. In Jesus' name, thank you. We need this opportunity. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Yes. Hallelujah to the God on the throne. Hallelujah to the God of the universe. Right now, we're going to go into our subject topic. And, you know, many people are going to and fro saying, oh, it's nothing is working. Oh, I'm going to church. It ain't working. Oh, I'm giving tithes and offering. It ain't working. I'm doing everything I can think of, good, bad, and evil, to make my life work. But something's wrong. Something is just not clicking. Something is just not giving me the satisfaction that I need in this life. What is wrong? Well, you know, when we look into the caverns of our life and what we're doing and what we're not doing, we're not going to dwell on what you're not doing right now. We're going to talk about what we have been doing up until this point. And some of us have been letting God down. That's right. Nobody likes to be felt let down. But if we look outside of our own self into the world, we see many who are going about to establish their own. They're doing everything they think they can, know of, can pay for to make their lives better. But something's wrong. It is not working. And it is not working because some of us, and I'm putting myself here, out here, excuse me, also on Front Street. Some of us have let God down. You know what it feels like to be let down. Miserable, sad, rejected, reproached. Well, you know what? The Bible says that God himself has a heart, he has eyes, he feels, he creates, he does not sleep. So that means he has a mind to sleep if he wanted to. But some of us have let God down, and he's not happy about it. You know why he's not happy about it? Because we have blamed God long enough for our faults and disturbances in life and all other unhappy circumstances. And now it's time for us to grow up. Yes, I said that. Grow up and get up and share the good news that deliverance is near. You know, when you're feeling bad and sad and nothing's going right in your life, hey, if you leave your Bible at home, get up out of there and go somewhere and tell somebody that God is real and that his son is going to return very soon, just like he said he was. Hey, let's face some facts. Let's cut through the chase on this. Everything that the Bible has foretold up until this point has come to pass. No one can look into the sacred scripture and say, oh, that's a lie, oh, that's a lie, oh, that's a lie. Anyone that does, they are a lie. Look out. Just count on both hands at some of the things that have occurred just in the last 5 years that has to do with prophecy. So when you're feeling like everything is going wrong, get out and talk about something that's right. That's about God's kingdom. We can't continue to blame God for everything that's going wrong in our life. We just can't. God's deliverance is near. Some might say, well, from what? I don't need to be delivered. I have money. I can do what I want. You know, I'm going, I'm coming, I'm looking good, I'm feeling good, I'm eating good, I'm walking good, I'm wearing good shoes, good clothes. Hey, get back, Jack. But you know what? We need to be delivered from all that sin has provided on a silver platter in our life. That's right. Lying, cheating, whoremongering, warmongering, false accusations. Oh, I could go on and on. I don't have to. If you're over 2 years old, you understand what it is I'm talking about. We need to be delivered from sin. Truly we do. You don't hear that too much in church because, you know, they don't have too many left in there. And the few that they have might not want to hear that. But I'm going to talk about it right now. Because when we continue our sinful state for one more day, one more dollar, one more lay down, smack down, guess what? Nothing's going to work right. And all of us that are blaming God for whatever and whomsoever has come into our life to cause mayhem and chaos, you need to stop it. You really need to stop it. God is sick of that, and I know your associates that are God-fearing is sick of that. But right now, most of us have lost a lot of time trying to dodge God, live apart from God, hide from God. It has not worked. Somebody say amen. It has not worked, you know, and it will never work because Jeremiah says that God has created us not to run our own life. Bible says it does not even belong to those who are walking upright on 2 feet to govern their own life. So that means we've got to look to another source for guidance, deliverance, and peace and hope. And that only one, the scripture says, is God. The Bible says God sent his son. Because after all looked lost from the Garden of Eden, and our first human pair, our first parents, and the steps they took to rebel against God, Jesus was the only one perfect man, one spirit, that could redeem and buy back man, repurchase man from himself. And so because God sent his son, you know, he did a great thing. There's not many that would give up his son for people that were walking in sinful nature because of their parents. There's not one of us that would say, okay, to some of the mass murderers, take my son, take my daughter. Do what you will. There's not any of us that would do that, but because God knew what was coming down the pipeline, because Adam and Eve sinned, and they turned themselves up against God, he knew a deliverer was going to be needed. So since God did his part to buy back through his son the redemption for the human race, what do we owe God? We owe God something. You're breathing his air. You're walking on his earth. You know when you get to the hospital, you know you got to bow your head and pray and say something that would get this God's attention. Even the worst of the worst, say, oh, God, help me. You know, in that time of need. Can't do anything, helpless, standing before the doctor, laying there on the gurney. You don't know when the anesthesiologist puts you to sleep, whether or not you're coming back again. So let's face the fact. We need to make up our minds that we're not going to let God down. He's been too much for us. You know how you let God down? Well, number one, we let God down when we don't do what God says. Here's a Bible that was penned over centuries. Yes, by men who were inspired of God, who were told to write, get up, turn that candle up, get up and start writing. I don't care if you're in the dungeon. I have something to say. Start writing. Yes, you're in chains. Yes, you're on your way to the Roman arena to be beheaded. But I have something to say. You're going out, but these others are coming in. You must write for them. He told Daniel, write it down and seal this book because it is for future generations. What a good God that was. What a good God he is. Therefore, we should make up our mind that we're not going to let him down. We make up our minds against God when we do not do what God says. Well, how are you going to know what God wants you to do if you don't get into the Word? He's already outlined in Zephaniah and the book of Zechariah what he expects of man. Okay, he says he wants you to walk upright. He wants you to obey God and his commandment. And he wants you to do good by your neighbor. 1, 2, 3. Oh, my God, you can't get out of a jail with a jail car. With just 1, 2, 3 things that we should be doing. But with God, God says, I am the creator. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Well, goodness, if he created the earth, common sense would, and no sense would tell someone that he created everything on it. So God has expectations. If you're living, if you're alive, if you're walking about today, God has expectations of you. Let's not get this thing twisted. You did not create yourself for a life that you have created. God created you. He caused mommy, daddy to lay down and in the act of conception. And here 9 months later, you came. Anything could have happened in between the 9 months. She, mommy, could have changed her mind. There's so many options she had that she could have taken. And the struggles, oh my God, that I hear that some women went through. But God made a way. He made a way. However, the path might have started off looking ruinous, might have started off looking bad, but he made a way. If you're still walking, you're eating, you're doing all things that normal humans do, God made a way. He chose you. And I was telling someone on yesterday, if God created you, he has something in mind for you to do. Not just to, you know, plop out of mommy and go about thy own way. God had something in mind for you. He still has something in mind for you. God still has something for you to do. You might get to 80 years old and all of a sudden, okay, this is my path. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. You might be 15. You could be 40. When you get the revelation that, hey, you belong to God. Jesus paid that price. You belong to God. Might not want to hear it, might not like hearing it. But you belong to God. You belong to the one that created you. Your children belong to you because you, in God's infinite wisdom, shared in that creative process. And they were born into this world. Therefore, we owe God. We owe God allegiance. We owe God his sovereignty. We owe God our love because the Bible says that God is love. So that means we owe God our divine love. How can we let a God down that gave us a chance at life? Yes, you might say, oh, well, I don't care about that. What could I care about that? I didn't actually come here. I'm not living good. My life's a mess. I'm a mess. I feel horrible. Everybody around me is terrible. We all could say something like that at one point or another in our life, but it does not mean that we need to stab God in the back because of our own choices. We make choices. We make them every day, whether or not we're going to do the right thing or do the wrong thing, whether or not we're going to say the right thing or say the wrong thing, whether or not we're going to act like we have God's goodness or not. We have choices. We have choices. So how can we let a God down that says, okay, I created you, but because I love you and my son loved you, he said the things that I'm fond of the most are with the sons of men. My son loved you. I allowed him to come. How can we let God down? There's no reason to let a God down that created not only who you are, but the circumstances that you would be best at overcoming. Blessings belong to the overcomer. Blessings and goodness belong to those that have said to God, you know, I'm tired of my life. It has netted me nothing but problems, nothing but trouble. I need you, God. I'm not calling out to anyone else. I need you. I need you. If we say that, that gets God's attention, and it lets God know that, you know, we might have let him down by our prior activities, even by some of the things we do now, but we're pleading to God now. We want an opportunity to make it right. God, I'm sorry. I am so sorry. I blamed you when eons ago you made a way. You made it possible for me to be born and to make a showing in the world. The Bible says that life is a gift of God. God, I'm not going to spit in your face because you first stretched out, because you first loved me, and that is why you sent your son. Yes, you know, your way might not be attractive at times, but God, I'm not going to let you down. I might not can drink all the whiskey the Hennessy Company sells, but God, I'm not going to let you down. I may not have everything I want, but hey, I had a chance. But I'm not going to let you down anymore. I'm going to look into your word. I'm going to talk about your word and you and your son. I'm going to clean up while I have the opportunity to get clean. I'm going to make amends with those that perhaps I've hurt. Those that I can't, I can write a letter and burn it up if I can't get it to them. Whatever it takes. I'm going to show you that I'm not going to let you down. I'm going to find somewhere where I can sit there and hear about you, hear about your work, hear how your son is coming back, hear how I can play a major part in world events. There's something that all of us can do to make this world a better place. If God has not destroyed it, wiped this off this globe, then that means that's another day, another chance. If you have woke up and you can see, you can walk, you can hear, and even if you can't do any of those, just if you woke up, God has an opportunity for you to get in behind the footsteps of his son, Christ Jesus, who said, follow me. He didn't go into a big rhetoric. He didn't say, I'm going to give you this, I'm going to give you that, I'm going to promise you this, I'm going to promise you that, you're going to get this, you're going to get that. He said two words, follow me. Isn't that something? Isn't that profound? While men today, even in high office, talk this, talk that, oh my goodness. Jesus just said two words, he said, follow me. Now, if you want to know what that entails, then look into his word. If you follow him, here, let's break this thing down. What did he do? If you follow him, he'll give you the opportunity to heal others. He'll give you opportunity to raise men and women and children, youth now, out of a dead-like state. Follow me. If you follow Jesus Christ, he's going to give you an opportunity to do good deeds and to serve the Father in spirit and in truth. Jesus said, follow me. He did not let God down. He saw what was going on there. He saw what was going on in Jerusalem. He looked at the Roman legions for what they were, the Roman rule then. He said, follow me. That means that you're going to have to also face rulers in this life. You have something to say? No, you don't. You're going to open your mouth before kings and rulers. And the angels and the Spirit of God is going to give you what to say. Follow me. Jesus said, follow me. The Son of God said, follow me. How can you let God down if you follow in the footsteps of Jesus Christ? What else are you going to do? You followed man, you followed mammon, you followed a sex encounter. You have followed all manner of evil. Some good are evil. What has it got you? Guilt, remorse, dodging the law, your health ruined. Jesus said, follow me. That means if you follow in the footsteps of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, you're not going to let God down, because you're going to get in behind the works and the actions and the activities of the Son of God, and you're going to be a herald for God and for the name of God. You're going to be a living witness to God here on earth. God has need of you. He always has need of you. He's had things for you to do since the creation of this earth. Hold it together by good works. Holding it together by devotive works. Devotion to God. Devotion to right action. His Son said, follow me. Yes, you know what? You know where that fellowship ended. Nailed to that torture stake on Golgotha, the place of the skull. What else are you going to do? You're already following death outside of the will of God. How can you shrink back? There's nothing to shrink back from. Jesus said, follow me. Follow the Son of God. Start following in the footsteps of his Son and watch what happens in your life. The angels protected Jesus all of the way, and the Father, and the Father. You want protection from evil and wickedness? Get in behind the footsteps, into the footsteps of the Son of God. They protected Jesus from all ill will and harm. Herod wanted him dead as a baby. Follow into the footsteps of Jesus Christ. Oh, you're not going to let God down, because Jesus said, the things that I am fond of is with the sons of men, and I came, I am here to do the will of the Father who is in heaven. He did not say that he was within, hanging around the corner. He said, my Father who is in heaven. Okay? You can't let God down following in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. Okay, what else are you going to get? You're going to get divine protection. You're going to get divine intervention when problems rise. You're going to get the blessings of God morning, noon, and night. You're going to get all the good things that God has promised through his Son, Christ Jesus. He's not going to leave you or forsake you. He promised he was not going to do it. Oh, my goodness, my God, he's not going to leave you. He said, I will neither leave you nor forsake you. That's what you're going to getting in the footsteps of God. The main issue here and the crux of the matter is that you will not let God down. You will not be letting God down, getting in the footsteps of his holy Son, Christ Jesus. Let me tell you what else is profound. You probably have never heard this before in your life. Getting into the footsteps of the Son of God brings you right up to the throne of God. His Son says, I go away, and I'm going to prepare a place for you. You know why? Because you have followed the works, the actions, the activities. You followed in the footsteps of his Son. Jesus said, follow me. You followed money. You followed bad activities. You followed the drug man. You followed the dope man. You followed the thief, the conjurer. You followed everything this world has had to throw out there on the scene of this world. And nothing has worked. Look at you. Moses said in Psalm 90, 70 or 80, you know, I heard someone say at the death of a very famous celebrity, oh, he died at 83. Oh, he lived a long, good life. Oh, he lived a long life. Oh, stupid. That is ridiculous. 80 years? And here is a God that has lived for billions of years, and man, 80? Good God, you know what? That alone should make anybody want to get into the footsteps of Jesus Christ. Get in the footsteps because he's promised eternal life. Eternal life. Everlasting life. You're not going to get it continuing in the footsteps of Satan because he's already said, I'm going to chain that one and throw him headlong into the abyss. And everything and everyone following after him and doing his dastardly deeds. You already know what you've got coming. Does that sound good? Does that sound worthy? Does that sound like something a sane person would want to do? Walking in that one footsteps, the one called the Satan? No, of course it is not. There's only one God that can promise that. Many gods have rose up. Many people worshiping every kind of wood and stone. They have eyes, but they don't see. They have hands, but they can't do anything with them. A mouth, they can't speak. Ears, they cannot hear. They're following them, burning incense, doing everything to them. Not one of them gods have promised eternal life, everlasting life. Titus 1:2 says God cannot die. So if God has promised that, isn't that enough to get in behind his son? Figuratively, Jesus said, follow me. Look what you're going to get following him. You won't let God down. And when God sees you taking those steps to get in behind Jesus, what are some of the steps? You got to go to God. It's not many steps. It's one step. Go fall down on your knees to God and say, God, I'm sorry. You don't have to stand there and lay there, hang on your knees for 2-4 hours trying to remember everything that you've done. God is not interested in that. He's interested in a contrite heart that wants to return, prodigal or not, to a God who created all things. So all you have to do is get down on your knees. Steady knees. You know, there's some medical information about what happens when a person gets on their knees. Something is released from those kneecaps into the body. I'm not going to tell you about it, but research the makeup of the knee. Make up your mind that you're going to do this today. Look up the meaning of being on your knees, but get on your knees and say, God, I'm sorry. That God, I'm sorry, covers everything that you've ever done. And then if you say, God, I'm sorry, in the name of your son, Christ Jesus, God, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. God, I'm so sorry. And if you want to go further, say, God, make it right for me. That's all you've got to say. God, I'm sorry. God, I'm sorry. Make it right. Make it right. Make it right. And watch what God will do for you. Because in doing these things, you're not going to let God down anymore. You aren't going to do it. And next week, we're going to find out some of the things that you will get. Now, this isn't like a rally or some kind of a lottery game here. You're going to get something. But remember what Jesus got. He got glory upon his return. Okay? Glory upon his return time. What else are you going to do? We're going to leave. Let's not be foolish about that. But I'm holding out for eternal life, and I want it for you too. God bless you. Thank you for tuning in to the Hour of Power, the Dr. Cappuccino Show, Hour of Power. God bless you. I'll look for you on this line next week. Bye-bye. In Jesus' name, amen.